Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over the these last two series of Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. Something I was not expecting at all. New York trounced Tampa Bay the other night, 6-2. Matt, did you see that one coming?
I didn't see that coming. I thought it would be a little tighter of a game with two Vezina-like goaltenders. I thought it would be like a 2-1, 1-0 type of game, but looks like New York rode the momentum into game one, and Tampa kind of maybe a little too much rest, but you know what? Game two's Vasilevskiy after a loss. He's undefeated. He's like a million and zero. So I'm calling Tampa win next game.
Yeah. I mean, I was expecting a 4-2 Tampa win on this one. But wow. What I mean by a 4-2 win is like, it's 3-2 with 2 minutes left and they score an empty net goal. I thought it was going to be a pretty close game, but no, that wasn't the case. I'm really surprised by that. You know, maybe that is the win that gives New York some life. We're like, hey, you know what? Maybe we can do this.
Yeah. Take them a little more serious. You know what? Igor Shesterkin looked good. I don't agree with what the fans were saying. Igor is better. It's kind of like poking at the bear. Yeah. You know, you're messing with a guy who's got a pretty good record after a loss, and he's got two Stanley Cups in 2 years. Vezina finalist. I'm sure he won a Vezina. I think he did actually last year. So yeah, be careful what you wish for, because now it's going to be a tough game too. But good for the Rangers, man. They showed up ready to go.
He only, he's only backstopped the team that's won the last, I think their last 18 yeah. series. So
and he has 10, shutouts in elimination games. I think he's on a streak with that even. So he's a dangerous player.
Man, that's incredible. Yeah. So Avs and Edmonton was a complete shootout the other night. You predicted that one. That one was an 8-6 win from Colorado. Talk about no defense, all offense in that game. Matt, do you think that Edmonton has what it takes to, you know, to put this Colorado team away?
So game one, man, I was kind of impressed with Edmonton, because they were kind of fighting and they were getting close. Mike Smith was bad. I mean, he's the last couple, I think the last two game ones in both series, he's been yanked. And quite honestly, I know tonight is another game, but I'm surprised he didn't get yanked today. But Edmonton was fighting in game one, but Colorado is just too much. And I know, what's his name? Darcy Kemper is out. I mean, he left the game early. Game one, and I think that could be a problem for Colorado, but I think their scoring is just so good, it doesn't really matter who's in net.
Right. Yeah, it just seems like this Colorado team is just built more complete than this Edmonton team. Colorado won tonight 4-0 against Edmonton. That takes that series 2-0. Tomorrow is the game two for Tampa Bay and New York. I'm telling you, man, I thought that, Edmonton has been this team that has been willed by Connor McDavid, but I think that that's going to be the chink in their armor, to be honest with you. I don't think that he alone is going to be enough to take over this, this Colorado team.
Yeah, he was a non-factor tonight, game two. Talking about, and Evander Kane at the end of the game, he was, you know, playing pretty dirty, throwing elbows, cheap shots, and even Darnell Nurse threw in a couple cheap shots. So, you know, the Avs were getting to him. They couldn't score any on the backup. I believe his name is Francois or something, but yeah, that's the thing. You don't even know who the backup goalie is, because he barely got in. He got a shutout and he didn't even really get any action.
Right.
But that second period, man, I think they got three goals in a matter of 2 minutes. I actually got home just in time for that. Mike Smith gave up a bad second one, and then the next one was just a good 2-on-1 Avs play. And then the last goal, the 4-0 lead, actually being not the game winner, but the last goal scored was McKinnon. That was just a one-timer blast with no space. Just the guy is hungry, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he wants to prove something to people, like, hey, I'm up there with McDavid too. So after tonight, man, his shot was elite and he's showing it.
Well, I would say a couple years ago, he was, you know, maybe 2 years ago, he had been in the MVP, you know, conversation for a few years. And I think he had an injury last year, and I would say he hasn't been up to that level since then. Would you agree?
Yeah. You think like McDavid and Draisaitl were kind of running away with like being the number one and number two best guys. But
yeah,
after watching McKinnon this playoff, man, he's really turned it up. Even the season, he looks good. And I know he missed the first 10 games.
But yeah, he did.
Definitely top five in the league. One of the best players in the league. And he's just playing better than these guys right now. And his team is too. So it's a team game, and he's leading the way.
Do you think that Edmonton's defense could maybe salvage, you know, make this a little bit more competitive? Because, you know, they're obviously a team that needs to play Connor's way, and Connor's way is fast and loose. But the problem is that when you're playing fast and loose, that opens you up on the defensive side of the puck, which is definitely something you don't want to do when you've got a high-flying team like Colorado. Do you think that Edmonton maybe needs to scale back like on this run and gun type of thing because they're playing, you know, such a lethal team like Colorado?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they need to tighten up, play a little St. Louis blue style on these guys and, you know, try to get them to take penalties and let Connor and Draisaitl, Kane do their thing. We know they could score on the power play like nothing. They got a great power play, and Connor usually is going to be open if it's 5-on-4. And like you said, even tonight, I think the defense, you know, they were pinching, they got caught a couple odd man rushes, and Colorado made them pay. They were just outworking them and everything. And even Cale Makar, man, Connor got some space. I believe it was the first period. He got like a good jump on Makar. Makar got back in time and just poke checked the puck away. And it was a very good defensive play. And not like really hard on the guy for his defense, but I didn't know his defensive game was so good, because I'm more of a Victor Hedman fan.
Yeah,
me too. I think Victor is better right now, but I think Makar can get there.
Well, here's the thing is that I think Victor Hedman could cover, you know, Connor McDavid, but Makar has the ability where if he makes a mistake, he has the skating ability and the speed to recover on a lot of guys. And a lot of guys, they don't have that in their skill set to cover McDavid. Now, you know, somebody I do want to talk about is I drew a blank on his name. Carlson. You know, he was a great defenseman for Ottawa.
Oh, Eric Carlson.
Eric Carlson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great defenseman, great skater. But you know what? I don't think that he's as good of a skater as Makar is, or has ever been as good as Makar. Makar is, you know, an elite, you know, generational talent playing on the defensive, you know, playing on the defensive side of the puck that's got great skating ability. And you need that to defend against Connor McDavid. And I just don't think that a lot of teams have that. And as you mentioned before, he could be the X factor here. And I actually saw a replay of that play. And yeah. I think that's an example of him showing how he can be the X factor in this series. And that effectively shuts down Connor McDavid. If you shut down Connor McDavid, this team is done. Draisaitl doesn't have it to take this team on his back and win a playoff series. I don't think that he has that. I think he's kind of like like a Scottie Pippen, you know. He's great, an all-world talent, you know, Hall of Famer type of guy, but he's not Michael Jordan. And yeah, obviously McDavid. Connor McDavid is the Michael Jordan in this situation.
Yeah. If
I should use a hockey reference, you know, we'll say Connor McDavid is the Wayne Gretzky of this situation, and we'll call Draisaitl the Jari Kurri. How about that? I'll even keep it with Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, that works. Yeah, but like you said, if Makar is making plays like this, and I think he's the only guy that could skate with McDavid as a defenseman. I think he's just that damn good.
Right.
He's got the speed. He's got the cuts. He's if you think about it, he is the McDavid defenseman right now.
So right.
If he's up to the task of, you know, taking care of his own end first, he's going to create more chances the other way and trust his team to do, you know, what they're supposed to do in front of them. And you know what? They're up 2-0. This could be a sweep easily, the way that they're playing.
As a coach, Matt, wouldn't you, you know, say when this is all said and done, wouldn't you take Makar maybe off to the side and show him some tape and like, do you see how good you are when you play defense? Well, you know?
Yeah. We know what you have offensively, but when you can become a complete defenseman, like a Victor Hedman.
Yeah.
If you keep doing nightmare. This and you dedicate your time to this and you master the position, like I think that's the problem with Erik Karlsson.
Right.
He was just so one-dimensional.
Right.
He didn't give a shit about playing defense. And that, in the end, that hurt him.
Yeah, it did.
Ottawa said, no, we're not going to pay you all this money. You crazy? And he ends up going to San Jose, and he's been nothing since. Nothing except a $13 million cap hit killing the Sharks right now, because I think they're kind of like in the middle. Like, if they had some cap space, they could probably sign a good guy or bring a couple guys in and develop some kids. They're a decent team.
Right.
But you really can't when you got all that money committed to a guy that isn't playing his position.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely think Makar, if he can, you know, work at being he is a good defenseman defensively, yeah. But if he can get to that elite, like skill set, like Hedman.
Defending role.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Can you imagine? I mean, Cale Makar is the type of defenseman that if he can shut down somebody defensively, he can turn the ice and, you know, practically keep his team skating downhill the whole game.
Yeah. Yep. You're more valuable when you can play both ways, like Victor Hedman. You like, we've seen it with Tampa. Hey, Vic, we need you to skate the puck up tonight. We need you to make some plays, pinch in, and create some offense. No, Vic, we need you to shut down. Like, so let's say, hey, Chris Kreider, Panarin, we need you to shut them down next game. We'll score the goals. You prevent them. And he could do it.
He's like, okay.
It's like Duncan Keith back in the day.
Yeah.
2010, Duncan Keith was one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He got into the offense when he was supposed to, and he played defense when he was supposed to. That's what made him, I think he was a Norris Trophy winner that year too.
Yeah, he was. It's hard to, you know, looking back, it's hard to not mention Brent Seabrook with Duncan Keith. You know, it's not like, you know, when Chris Chelios won his Norris, yeah, Gary Suter was good, but he wasn't like Brent Seabrook good, you know?
Yeah, I think Gary was more of a puck mover too.
Yeah, he was.
And sometimes that works. He put two puck movers together and it creates a lot, but Duncan Keith needed Seabrook to get his back, you know?
Yeah,
and 100%. Each other, they had each other's back. Sometimes you'd see Siebes make a stupid defensive play, or he pinches and Dunks could skate back 100 miles an hour and catch the guy.
Right.
Back in the day. And the same with Dunks, he'd be a little stupid and pinch when he shouldn't.
Yeah.
And you got Siebes back there to take care of you.
And he did.
And I think Jarmelson was actually underrated at this too. Whatever guy you had with him, I think he had Campbell for a while when they won the first cup.
He did.
Campbell was kind of a puck mover. We brought him.
Oh yeah, he was 100%.
Hammer was all, hey, if I'm getting the puck, I'm skating beyond the red line and I'm dumping that thing in. That's my job.
You know what, and dude?
He was good.
If it wasn't for Brian Campbell and, you know, and Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith, you know, a lot of the NHL, they probably didn't even know Nick Jarmelson was there, you know?
That's a good thing for the Hawks.
Exactly.
They got cheap.
Exactly. Yeah. And the next thing you know, it's like, hold on a second. We're supposed to be playing against Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, but they're putting this guy Hammer out here and he's locking down this top line, you know, and teams didn't know that was going to happen because they were overlooking him. And man, what a great time.
63 block shots a game. And the dude is like 150 pounds. And
whatever
defensive partner you put him with, he was good too. He made Johnny Oduya good.
Yeah, he did.
Campbell was good with him. And whoever
they played really well together, though. Johnny Oduya and Hammer, they were great. They had great chemistry together.
Yeah. Two Swedes, I believe. They were really good together, and it was entertaining. But I think with Makar jumping over to the Avalanche again, he's got that Devin Taves, and he's been a good complementary player with Makar too, because he's more, I'd say, like
off the radar.
Yeah, he's off the radar. He's very, very good.
Yeah,
he's
got some
very impressive numbers.
He is.
And it just works. And I'm not sure who Hedman's partner is. It might be that Sergachev, who's, you know, he's a very good defenseman too. But when you got a good guy like that, you got to find him a good partner. And, you know, it makes him even better. Like Siebes and Keith, those two made each other better.
Right.
And, you know, Dunks obviously got more of the accolades, but, you know, Siebes is a 3-time cup champ. He, you know, he scored some big game-winning goals for a stay-at-home defenseman. I remember that Red Wing game at Game 7. He was huge. So, well, I don't know, man. What do you think about this series? Do you think it's going to go sweep, or do you think Edmonton could squeak one in?
I think that there's a possibility that Edmonton could squeak one in, but especially if they have the ability to score six goals, but I don't think that they can handle the onslaught that's going to come from Colorado, because that onslaught is going to keep Connor McDavid off of the ice. And if he's not on the ice, they're not generating offense. And if they're not generating offense, that's pretty much just saying, we're just waiting for this other team to score. So
yeah, I just not sold on Smith. He just looks really shaky. He had a good first period. You know, it was 0-0, I believe. But then that second period, it was like a 3-minute just meltdown from the Oilers. And he just couldn't come up with that big save.
Right.
And quite honestly, he should have been pulled again tonight. But they stuck with him. And maybe that'll build his confidence up a bit. But this team is just too good. Like you said, there's just too much firepower. Kadri scoring goals. You got McKinnon burying goals. There's just so many good players on this team.
Before I go any further and I hit my next point, I got to let everybody know that this podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. And I'll tell you what, man, these guys have great products and they're great guys to work with. They have this thing called the Weed Whacker. And essentially what it is it takes care of your, you know, like your nose hairs and your ears hairs, I know a lot of hockey savages out there have it and it needs to be taken care of. Do us a favor. Use our code SHYTOMAHAWK and get yourself one of these Weed Whackers to take care of that, because it's unsightly and you want to be one of those dudes walking around with a forest coming out of your ears. And not to mention some of their other products that take care of the undercarriage, if you know what I mean. Be a little considerate, you know, to your lady friend, you know, your wife or your significant other or what have you, and make sure that you trim everything up down there and get everything taken care of. They've even got ball deodorant, which is something that I've never heard of before, which I thought was absolutely hilarious, but they have it. And you know what? It's actually pretty cool. It works. And one of their kits they have, what comes with the shaver, it comes with the, you know, the ear weed whacker, and it comes with a pair of boxers that are pretty awesome. I used them to run in a couple days ago, and they actually worked out pretty well. So do us a favor, check out Manscaped. They're awesome. Products are awesome. They shipped it to me. I'm going to let you guys know. And I tried it out. It was something that I was actually looking to buy myself, but I didn't. They sent it to me. It's awesome. I'm going to keep on using it, and I'm going to let you guys know how my how my Manscaped journey goes. Yeah, I hate to say it because I hate the Avalanche, but I think that the Avalanche could possibly sweep this this Edmonton team. Now that they said that, watch it go 7 games.
I don't think so. I think you're pretty safe with that, because they're playing against a goalie who's not feeling it right now.
Right.
And a lot of these teams, like, I'm not harping on the Rangers or anything, but come on, the first round they played a third string goalie against the Penguins and they took them 7. I know they came back, they were down 3-1. Then the next series, I believe they played Ranta, and then they played a number 3. Well,
they
three
played
goalie.
A team that typically chokes in the second round, is what it's that, coming down
that,
to.
That is true, but I think Freddie Anderson would have made the series a little bit different. You know, maybe he could have got that extra win that would put them over.
And this takes us into the what ifs with Vegas.
True.
What if Vegas had their goalie Lehner, who was who's supposed to be their guy, true, going down the stretch when they need him the most, and he's not there. Same thing with Carolina. They needed Frederik Andersen. They needed him at the end the most. And he wasn't there. And this is the difference between these teams that are going and having playoff success and these other teams that are not, especially these, we got to call Vegas a fringe team now because.
Oh yeah. Their window's closed.
Yeah. I think there's closed. And
you're better off tearing it down because it's not going to happen. You're another year older and you pissed off your starting goalie. And you're pissing off everybody.
Who has a serious injury, and one of their star players has another serious injury.
Yeah, his back's terrible.
That's not what you want to hear.
And then Eichel played with a broken thumb for 2 months.
Fuck, man.
The guy sat out for a neck surgery, but he played with a broken thumb.
Yeah, so that's just crazy.
It is.
I would have been like, weird. Look, we need to shut this guy down. We just got him. Just got him, and we're paying him $10 million a year. And he's out there playing with a broken thumb, which you need to play hockey. you imagine trying to fire off a wrister without a thumb?
How do you shoot? Whatever thumb it is, you can't get a good grip on either the top or the lower end of the stick. So
yeah,
I'm not sure about that. But we got a little bit off track, but I'm saying Rangers. No, it's okay. The Rangers are facing a starting elite goalie, and hey, they got to win. But I think it's going to be a little different. Same with the other series. The goalies aren't really sexy on this other side, the West.
Right.
They're not really special. They're just, we make enough saves to get the win, and you guys put a lot of pucks in net.
Right.
But I think game two tomorrow night with Tampa and New York is going to be a lot tighter.
I'm going to call it 3-1 win Tampa.
Tampa. Yeah, I think Tampa's going to win just because the numbers say Vasilevskiy's a beast, but watch it the streak end tomorrow because we're talking about it.
Sure hope not.
I could see him getting a 3-0 win.
Yeah. All right. Well, on to a little bit of NHL news. Sutter wins the Jack Adams Award for the Flames. And I was good not call. Sure if you heard about that, man.
That was your call. Yep.
He 100% deserved it. This was a team that was, playing pretty much bottom of the barrel. And before you know it, they just dominated the whole league this year. They turned into a juggernaut until they got to the playoffs. And then, you could thank the good coaching. And he instilled a system there. And you got to tip your hat to Daryl Sutter. This isn't the first time that this guy has turned an organization around and turned them into a contending playoff hockey team. So, he knows what he's doing. I think that a lot of people should take note. Young coaches should take note what he does and do what you can to try to replicate that.
Yep. He's an old dog and, he's sticking to what he knows best. And, we've seen what he's done with the Kings, 2 cups, and changed that whole franchise around, got him over the hump. And I think he's going to do it with the Flames maybe next year or the year after. I think they still got a window depending on where their big free agents are going to go. But
yeah,
I think he's the right coach for that team for sure.
Yeah, it's too bad. Sean Monahan is, I think he's getting to the end of the rope of his career, which is unfortunate because he was a good player for them for a long time. They're finally having some success and, it might be time for him to kind of pack it up, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like Taves' situation. You don't want him to go. He still thinks he could play, but you know what? You're one hit in the head away from being seriously, injured. So you got to think about your health. If you think about it, they're only in their 30s. And that's considered old in the NHL.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You got another 60 years, 50 years of life. You don't want to be, miserable every day. You got to enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Marty St. Louis still remains the Canadiens coach. What do you think of that that right there?
Love it. I think they brought him in to kind of get Cole Caulfield going. And he did, man. I think Caulfield, since he came up, he had 35 points in 37 games and he ended up, getting back into the rookie of the year conversation. And he was, you know, I think he scored 0 goals in the first 20. But then when St. Louis took over, he really turned it up. And that's what you need out of your franchise player. And I think St. Louis is the right coach to push these guys. He's got a lot of enthusiasm and energy on the bench. He's very likable, very knowledgeable, well-respected throughout the whole league. When, you know, when he played, all the players loved him. And I think he's going to bring that same energy into his coaching role.
Yeah. You know, Cole Caulfield, they showed a picture of him taking a team picture in the AHL. Dude, he did not look happy. And it makes you wonder, you know, is like, if there's like some maturity, some maturation that needed to happen with this kid, you know, and then, you know, bring him back up.
Yeah, I mean, that's got a sting, you know, when you're in the Stanley Cup final the year before, tearing it up with Suzuki, and you guys, you know, you're competing for the cup against Tampa. The next year, you're kind of starting off slow, and it's not going right, and they send you down. It's a big kick to the gut. So I'm glad he got his opportunity to get called back up. The team was just terrible this year. I didn't really agree with sending him down because of the team so bad, but it built his confidence maybe, and it gave him a little bit extra motivation. But I think Marty St. Louis being behind the bench, being a small player like Caulfield is, I think it really helped this game. And I think next year he's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, that's all that I got. Do you got anything else?
Yeah, I actually heard a little bit of Hawk news today. I heard that they ended up firing a guy, or I'm sorry, he left over the town hall meeting that Rocky Wirtz had. I believe it was, he used to work for Cap Friendly. I'm not getting his name. I forget, but I guess he left because he was unhappy with how the Hawks handled that thing. And, he ended up leaving, and I guess a lot of Hawks fans on Twitter are okay with it, but I guess he's a cap wizard when it comes to, you know, fitting guys in the right, you know, getting them the right salaries and stuff.
Man, these guys are a dime a dozen these days, though.
Yeah, the analytics guys, yeah, but this guy, Cap Friendly, was a good site. You know, I don't think it's legit anymore because it's kind of, didn't the NHL kind of stopped that to give privacy to the players or whatever. But I mean, we all see them when they sign their big deals. We know what they're making and stuff. So I think it's cool when you find out, like, hey, this guy signed for 10 years, $100 million, and his cap hit's like, you know, 10 point whatever a year. And it's cool when you work it into the salary cap and stuff. But yeah, maybe I think the guy was just embarrassed of how Rocky Wirtz handled that, and he didn't want to be a part of it. So the guy moved on.
Yeah. You know, I think that I get it. Sure. I actually respect that, because I think that there's a lot of people that will throw a temper tantrum and they expect the organization to kind of do what they want instead of just saying, hey, this isn't for me, I'm going to take off, you know, type of a thing. And I actually respect that. Maybe if he had a conversation with somebody and maybe it didn't go the way that he liked it, maybe that is what happened. I don't know, but
yeah. Well, his name is Dominic Zirm.
Yeah.
He is the co-founder of Cap Friendly.
Yeah. I remember didn't he leave so that he can take this job?
I believe he did. And he just, he says, I enjoyed my time being here. And, he just felt like after that town hall meeting, it was time to go. So he's gone.
He's back with the website and consulting for a few teams.
Yeah.
It's looking to cash in is what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people, like you said earlier when we were talking, you just don't want to be affiliated with someone who, you know, who.
It's a great site, man.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I liked it. I used to look at Hockey Buzz, Theo Fox's main page,
right?
And I'd look at the salaries, but sometimes they were off, but it would give you an idea.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, we got like 10 million to spend, and then when it comes to the summer, the Hawks have 7 million. I'm like, what am I missing here? And then there's like bonuses that have to be handed out, and because buyout somebody hits penalties, certain
metrics, right?
Yeah. I'm like, geez, you almost need a guy to take care of this for you.
You know,
a GM like needs a guy to run the numbers, like, hey, why the hell did you just give this guy this much? Now we can't do this with this guy.
He's like, because of this and this and this and this. And then five minutes later, this and this and this and this and this and this. Like, oh, shit. Yeah.
He scored an extra three goals when we wanted him to get 10. He scored 13. Now we have to pay him this next year.
It's and like, that's why we benched so-and-so and sent him down the fucking Rockford.
Yeah, that's why we, that's why we're going to buy out Kubalik or something. Yeah, yeah.
And then the GM's like, did somebody fucking catch that?
Yeah. It's like the Dale Talon thing with the offer sheets, remember? With
The
offer sheets, the restricted free agent things, which I think was total bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Versteeg and Bufflin and, oh yeah, we didn't do it on time. We have to let him go.
Right.
Something's fucking shady with that. I don't think so.
Yeah. It's a hard job, man. You gotta, you know, you have to get the right people in, you know?
Yeah.
And
I just think of Moneyball, like bringing all those guys in, you know, like
you need people to give you information, you know. It's getting to a point where this, like the GM job, like back in the day, the GM job was just one guy kind of watching guys play and figuring out who he was gonna send in. Now there's, it's such a, you know, it's such an like such a machine, which you got the scouting and they got to talk to the analytics guys and then they got to come in, they got to meet on it, you know? And then as a GM, you just need people to feed you not just information, but information that is palpable for you to take in and then information that you can make a decision on. And that's got to be, even as a hockey guy, man, that's got to be hard to do.
Yeah, I think it's good to have a hockey-minded like guy in charge.
Right.
Maybe hire a... What's the guy from Moneyball?
Billy Bean?
Like a Billy Bean, like his assistant with just good numbers guy. And I'm sure it's like that now. Anyway, like all the assistant GMs are probably good, you know, with all that stuff. They got to be, you know, good right-hand men to these guys. So
that's probably why Kyle Davidson hired two other associate GMs to help out, you know?
You need a guy to run the numbers. You need a good video coach. You need a good scout. You all need to be on the same page. And I think Dale Talon was the best, man. I think Dale brought in the right player. Dale was a former scout himself.
Right.
So he knew what was going on and I think that's what made him a great GM in both teams. Florida, he did a great job, and the Blackhawks, he did a great job.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Do you got anything else?
No. Let's go Lightning.
Lightning, and we got the Colorado. Looks like they could possibly go up and finish this off by next Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, so I think they could.
We'll keep everybody posted. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're very, very appreciative, and we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.